due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Oh! See? I just can't stand!
Yeet!
It's about time you did something, right?
Who in the hell do you think you are?
You ain't Godzilla or King Kong, because I'm both!
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah!
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Damn!
You are dealing with the best in the world! Go fuck yourself!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table today I have my usual suspects, starting with my man in the Big Apple, Jason Block.
This new studio's pretty, man.
And this I can't wait to show it up. This is nice, ain't it?
I know. I mean, I actually sound good.
And it's, you know, it's a little roomier and it's a little easier to work with, but I probably should ask one of our tech guests, Stepboy. How are we looking back there?
Free of muffins.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, that's a good thing, but it's the bad day that we all expected, and the IWC doesn't understand.
Every year they don't. They do not understand that this is the beginning of the new season, so they're going to figure out who they want to push and who they need to release is not the word I want. Well, some of them, yes, you nuke from orbit, but some of them just need to ply their trade elsewhere.
Yes, because they need to essentially go breathe.
Agreed.
And honestly, there's a lot of people. We're talking in total 15 releases just from the talent.
There were 16, 17 actually.
Oh, 16. Yes, I forgot about her.
17, actually.
And her as well, I do believe.
Oh, boy.
Because the releases as of now are as follows. Braun Strowman.
Understand that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Dakota Kai.
That's an injury thing.
Yeah. Shayna Baszler.
Boo!
That's the one I'm going, what the fuck?
Yeah,
boo!
That's a mistake, but I'm wondering, is it to do with age? Because
no,
Shayna is slight possibility, because the thing is, Shayna turns 45 in August.
You don't look it, though.
I know.
She
but
don't.
The problem is, the Pure Fusion Collective has went absolutely nowhere.
Quite literally, Nikki, tits up.
What? Yeah.
Tony Storm, what did you just invade the...
She's dealing with things with Ben Mankiewicz right now.
Yeah, she was at the festival. She was at the festival, the TCM Film Festival.
Yes, and interviewed with Ben, so...
That's hilarious.
No,
yeah,
but,
and they were having fun.
Yes, I know. But Josh, watch this. This is what we think Shayna Baszler should do in August. Okay? Nikki, tell him because I think it's great.
Well, there's two things that she needs to do. First, she needs to get signed down somehow with the Warhammer movie.
Okay.
But second of all, she probably has an open invitation.
Oh no. Uh-oh.
Mox already?
How'd you get this new address?
I still get to crash on the couch.
Oh, right. All right.
Yay.
So, yeah, well, no, what Nick told me, and I thought it was a great idea, too. the best thing that she can do, if she still wants to do what we both love doing, then she needs to come out to Jacksonville. In fact, I might have a spot for her.
Okay.
All she has to do is break Marina Shafir's fucking arm. Continuity, you guys like that shit, right?
Yeah, we like it.
I mean, it sucks if Shin's up in Tony's toy box, but I think my crew needs a shot in the arm, pardon the pun.
Yeah.
I think she would be better as the bodyguard than Marina Shafir. That would
be... Yes, because to me, Marina kind of feels like an other than. Shayna feels at home there. Wait. Did I just hear something?
That's correct. Come on in. Hey, Shane, what's going on?
Not much. Just... Sorry, I'm late. Was detained.
Yes. Welcome to the new studio, by the way.
Yes. So much new room for activities.
Well, I'm not allowed to do anything in here.
Yes, because if you do, I will come down to Cincinnati and introduce the muffin button in real life. To your head, repeatedly. It's for horses!
Yeah, that's the... You can't hurt the part of my body.
No. But we need to get Nikki back, because we got more releases to talk about.
Yeah, a ton more.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, Shayna, if you're actually listening to this podcast, which I doubt you are, hey, come on down. I'm gonna watch you beat the shit out of Marina Shafir. I'll bring the popcorn.
Indeed. So,
excuse me. Mox, what? You're not supposed to go anyway. No.
Saturday. So Shane, while Nikki's getting her headphones back, what do you think of the main roster releases? Shayna, Pants and Carter, Dakota Kai, and Braun Strowman.
Okay. So, Chance and Carter, I feel, is a travesty for the women's tag team division, considering that they are probably the only legitimate tag team. Like, the others were just thrown together.
Yeah.
Except for Liv and Raquel, but like, other than Liv and Raquel, Chance and Carter were the only legit tag team.
Well, the problem was, though, they didn't translate very well on TV, and both of them, you know, they would start to get a push, one of them got hurt. They'd start to get a push, another one got hurt. Yep. It was just...
Yeah. I just have a feeling a lot of these main roster ones, majority of them were injury prone releases.
I agree with that, except for Shayna.
Yeah.
Shayna, I feel, was just lost in the abyss. Like, they had the opportunity to do something with her after she beat Ronda, but they didn't pull the trigger with it. Then this was going. This was during the chaotic time of Vince's court stuff and everything like that. So I think she just got her momentum got lost in the chaos, and then they just didn't know what to do with her.
Which is
myself
a shame,
personally, I would.
Go ahead.
I would say myself personally, I would have done a factory reset. Sent her back to NXT to get her back to being the submission magician and tapping people the hell out, and then have her come back with a vengeance at the Royal Rumble and get her momentum back rolling with the main roster.
The problem is, though, Shane, and this is going to sound a little ageist, Shayna is one of the oldest women on that roster. I know she don't look it, but she turns 45 in August.
Ooh, damn, I didn't think she was that old.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly didn't. I honestly thought Shayna was in her 30s.
I know.
I said, she keeps well, and I'm not trying to be sexist or ageist here.
Yeah. No, you're not. I mean, you know, She does not look that old. I thought she was 40, because I know she'd been around for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she's pushing 45 and can still go out there and do it, I don't think they should be looking at the
Bloodsport. I watched her on Bloodsport. She kicked ass.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. And she has just an amazing presence about her, which was something, which is why she was, you know, that's why she was such a huge badass in early NXT. That's the Shayna I wanted when we got up to the main roster. It just never fully came to fruition, and I still don't know why.
No, that was the Shayna we partially got. That was a Shayna we partially got. That was a Shayna we partially got, but then, like I said, she got lost. I think she just got lost in the shuffle because you had so many amazing talent that were coming up, like Rhea, like Charlotte, like Becky, like so many others, and she like just got
Bailey, like Mercedes or Sasha or whatever.
She got lost in the shuffle. Like I said, she had the perfect time to get some momentum going after she beat Rousey and go off of that and just go back to her dominant ways. But then, like I said, the chaos with Vince happened, and I think they were just trying to get some positive light out of their bigger stars, and Shayna got lost in the shuffle.
Well, I know it's a weird thing coming out of Mox's mouth, but I think if Shayna goes to AEW, even if it's just in a managerial slash bodyguard role, I think she would do very well. She still has aura, something that Marina Shafir just does not have. Marina doesn't do anything for me, and it sounds like she doesn't do anything for the rest of you guys.
No. Honestly, Marina Shafir.
Well, she does nothing for me. And look, respect her, don't like her, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's just doesn't have it.
Right, she and Shayna does.
She's nowhere close. Yeah, Shayna does in spades. Literally.
No, but
pun intended, but, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing though, and that's nothing on Marina. That's the shit booking she's been given. Ever since she has come into that company, she has been made the briefcase holder. That's all she's been. She's literally
She was nothing before that, really. Even that, because she was around for a little while.
They had to tell me it was Marina Shafir as it was.
Yeah, exactly. If you really wanted her to come across as this badass like person that we're supposed to fear and everything else, then have her go in, treat her like you did with friggin' Wardlow. Have her come in, destroy people, and have us go, holy shit, okay, better not mess with this person. But instead, you had her do absolutely nothing. She was just standing there like a limp noodle. And then you put her with Moxley, and even with as good of a talker as Mox is at times, not even he could friggin' bury her, like dig her out of the friggin' hole that AEW put her in.
Yeah.
And then have exactly. her doing these comedy spots with like carrying off Renee while she's on a microphone and everything because they're getting into a fight rather than getting to the fight herself. It's like, why am I fearing this woman?
Yeah.
Like,
although that's funny. That is funny, but no.
It's funny, but she's supposed to be this badass woman who doesn't fear anybody, yet she's carrying Renee away, and she's not coming back after Renee's in a safe spot. Like, huh?
Did she princess carry Renee, or did she throw her over her shoulder?
She had the briefcase in one hand, carried her over her shoulder on the other. I'm like, what the fuck?
But yeah, that's not badass at all. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Well, moving on, and I'm going
to... And, yeah.
No, I'm just saying, Jeff, I'll help you out on this one just a little bit, if that's okay.
Okay.
We have 10 people. Oh, and then we're going to go to the late releases that happened today. On Friday, you had NXT released 11 people, 10 on Friday. The first one was the Trio of Gallus, Joe Coffey, Mark Coffey, and Wolfgang.
That was absolutely stupid.
Yep.
But would it really be... Go ahead.
You were just lost.
I just, you know, I didn't hear much about them. The last time I saw them on TV was they were pretty much getting punked by Joe Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the last I saw of them too.
Yeah.
So, but go on.
Then you had Big Body Javi Vernal. He didn't connect. Okay.
Who?
Gigi Dolin. Hmm.
That's a big one for me. I'm sorry. That's a big one for me. Gigi had the charisma, had the talent, and was in my opinion the blue chipper for Fatal Attraction. when it was originally Mandy Rose, her and JC Jane.
Right.
Like Mandy was good, but I was more focused on Gigi. Gigi right. caught my isn't eye over Mandy.
Isn't that the ex-partner of what's his face? Darby Allin?
Yes.
I don't know if she, that is indeed is she, her. Is she an ex, or is... I thought they were still together.
No, it's ex.
Oh.
It's
okay,
an ex. Jakara Jackson. Cora Jade. That one doesn't surprise me.
No,
that's an injury prone one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, cause she was off. Okay.
She's been there like 5 or 6 years, and I think she's only worked two of them.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Let me take a look. She got hired in 2021.
Okay.
Injuries. Let's see. Now she worked until 2022. She was off for 4 months. That was when she got her boob job. And then on January 12th, 2024, she tore her ACL, which kept her out for most of 24.
Yeah, which I don't know why you need 4 months off for a boob job situation, but okay.
You need a silicone to harden up.
I mean, the good news for her... is time is still on her side. She's only 24. She is 24 years old. She definitely has another decade plus if she wants it.
She definitely does. And I feel like if Cora is really passionate about this, she can be like a Rusev and all them situation. She can do work in another company, work her ass off, prove that she's not going to be injury prone, and then I guarantee you she'll get a call back from WWE.
Yeah.
And we have Aura Menta, part of Metaphor. Was he part of Metaphor?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, him and Jakara Jackson were part of Metaphor.
Who?
Yeah. Riley Osborne was part of Chase U.
Okay. No, I was going to say with Jakara Jackson, she was in tears in her last appearance, I understand.
Yeah.
So I think she knew she was on her way out. And I'll see. I think one of the things with that, because Metaphor was kind of neat. Weird, but mm-hmm. neat. The problem is Jakara Jackson and Oro Mensa may as well be B-Fab and Oba Femi.
Yep.
And B-Fab and Oba Femi. I'm confused. I'm confused with that statement. But like Oba Femi. Do you mean what's her name? Francis.
Hmm?
Top Dollar.
AJ.
No, Oro Mensa.
No. Go ahead.
Oro Mensa was released, and I thought, okay, so Oba Femi Boy, does that sound racist. I am so sorry.
It's more of a, they already have the same character. They don't need it twice.
That's my point. That is my actual point. Because Car Jackson and BFAB are pretty much the same gimmick.
Yes.
And I will reiterate, if you had told me when Hit Row was released that BFAB was the only one that was going to stick, I'd have laughed at you.
Yeah. And then also Danny Palmer got released.
Who?
That's exactly it. Who?
And one more after that.
Yes. And the one whose contract was not renewed. And that would be Shotzi Blackheart.
That makes me sad.
She's another one
who was. She was another one who was missed opportunities.
It isn't so much that she was injury prone as hell.
Really?
Yeah, very much. Really, Shotzi was out so frequently that she was only in two WWE 2K games, despite her being in the company from 2019 to present. She was in 2K22 and 2K23. That's it.
I know she got. I know she had time. I know she had time off this last time because of stuff that was going on with her sister with cancer. That's why she cut her hair and everything.
Yeah. But she was owning to and then also. What?
Charlotte Bordeaux said that she and Shotzi have filmed more Chamber of Horror stuff.
Yeah. So, if that's the case, one has to wonder, and this is going to sound a little weird, is she going to wind up ultimately with the same type of contract that, Tyler Breeze had?
That sounds about right, actually, because she's still very entertaining. She occupies the TV screen really well. She doesn't have to wrestle. Yeah. And that's why she got to. That's why she was one of the ones that hosted New Year's Evil.
Yes.
Or Halloween.
She was the perfect host for that. Too. Yeah, those two. Where she was just being an absolute head case, and that was very entertaining.
Yeah, it was.
And how could you let go of a woman who runs over people with a freaking tank? Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Robert Stone over and over and over again. Go on.
I got a better question going back to the main roster ones for a second. How can you let go of a big son of a bitch like Braun Strowman?
I want more information because I think he asked for his release because I can't see them just saying pack your bags and get out of here.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense, especially with the last year that he had. Like, he was doing amazing work with Jacob Fatu. He did great work with Bronson Reed. He had a better year than anyone else who was on that freaking list.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so.
And do we even have a timetable on Bronson coming back? Soonish.
Well, I mean, because remember, he got injured at War Games, right?
Yeah, yes. November.
And it's now about 6 months. Maybe
it is
SummerSlam?
Just over six. Decent chance, but he could be coming back soon because his injuries are putting him 6 to 7 months. So. It's a possibility he could come back in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, I'll call this right now. The day you see Bronson Reed back is the day Jacob Fatu turns face. Because Bronson Reed will be the enforcer for Solo.
Ooh, I like that.
Speaking of Solo Sikoa, I need to talk about something. I need to talk about something that dropped this week on the Stephanie's Places show on ESPN. So this was probably taped in 2024, because you had a lot of the bloodline on a yacht with your dear Uncle Paul talking about family and food and things like that. So you had your Uncle Paul, Tribal Chief, Yeet, Jacob, Solo, Tama, and Sammy.
Yes.
And this was absolutely fantastic. Because everyone was like, we're getting some real Samoan food today. And they talked to, and Jacob, who is the nicest, I mean, you know, the crazy psychopath, all gas, no brakes, you know, said the prayer, was like the nicest family guy. He scares me, dude.
Yes.
And you're
he's
right.
Very...
When
go ahead.
Jacob, I'm saying, he's going to be the monster face. He's the next Brock Lesnar, really. He really is.
Then could it be that if they have that much faith in Jacob that they didn't need Braun Strowman?
That's possible. There were so many funny bits in that, by the way.
I need to watch it because I'm not leaving now.
No, I'm saying, Shane, you needed to say something.
Oh yeah, no. Look, that's great, and that's a possibility, but with so much stuff that's going on now with WWE, with them like doing partnerships with TNA and now Triple A, don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting to see Braun Strowman on Triple A doing flips and swantons and all that funny stuff, but a monster, he's an attraction for a reason. You could have had him go to TNA and be in a friggin' monster balls match and destroy people over there. You could have had him like go back to NXT and have a feud with Obafemi, those two big meaty men slapping meat. Like you could have done so much with Braun Strowman. So I'm in the same boat as you, Nikki. I think more information needs to be found out on if Adam Shear asked for his release, or B, if this was just budget cuts, or we don't have anything for you. Because if it's we don't have anything for you, then I'm calling bullshit.
I agree, because looks like Bliss and the White Six are right there. They twist him and send it and bring him back as the black sheep.
Yeah, like hell, and you're on the same wavelength, and I'm loving this. You could have done that. Who better other than Bo would have been good to lead the Wyatt Six? Bring the black sheep back and have him actually leading the flock while Bo's recovering.
Right. Which leads me to my next question. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, which begs a question, like, why can't idiots and creative think of this stuff if the common fans are thinking of this?
And why aren't are you... Go on. No, I like your answer, Jason. Go ahead.
Because the common fan ain't us. Most of the... Put it to you this way. People are still pissed that The Rock didn't show up and his bullshit excuse... For the WrestleMania thing, okay? For the WrestleMania finale, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't think the IWC is as smart as they give themselves credit to be. I'm just saying that, yes, we could have booked a lot of people better. However, there's a lot of people we need to book. Look at what we have here. We have Evolve. We have LFG. We have NXT. We have Izzy Moreno turning 18 2 days ago. And everybody wants to know where she's going to go. And she put out a great promo on her social media feeds. And yes, we want to know too. And I think we know where she's going.
Yeah.
Right? Or...
pretty sure.
Same.
If yeah, if, I think she's headed to NXT.
Directly at 18?
Why not?
Well, considering she already has some training, and she's already wrestling for a good, 2 years?
Yes.
I mean, I would say probably LFG first, then NXT, but it ain't going to be long.
No.
Why not? Why not put her on NXT? Why not put her on NXT at 18? They did the same thing with Paige.
Because things have changed so wildly.
And Thea Hale. Because I'll tell you why. Because there's a bigger expectation for her. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks that Izzy Moreno can get to the main roster before she's 20. Okay?
No. She'll get there at 21, not 20.
Okay.
Mainly because of what happened with the underagers that had been going up before her. Go see what happened with Paige. Go see what happened with Kenny Dykstra. Go see what happened with Kelly Kelly. Go see what happened with Renee Dupree.
Mm-hmm.
All four of them started when they were 19 to 20 years old. And there are things they can't do because they're still those ages. And they will be in situations where they would have or be wanting to do things they shouldn't. As such, Izzy needs to stay down a little bit and get a bit more seasoning. Not be off TV, obviously, but she doesn't go anything above NXT to a main roster spot until she hits 21.
Go ahead. What the number threes are thinking is that since Izzy is so intertwined with Bayley, that Izzy's just going to debut on SmackDown.
Too hard, too fast.
That's what I mean. That's what the number threes are thinking, though.
Yeah.
And a little part of me thinks that, too. But I know that WWE has learned their lessons about doing that with everything you just said, Statboy. When she does debut, I hope it's in some capacity working with Bayley directly.
Yeah. I hope now, so as
now
well.
Now, I have a legitimate question. Do you think Izzy is a draw? Like, will it bring in numbers? Will she bring in numbers?
Her story not immediately. Absolutely will. But will she? I think Nikki is right. She won't. Her story will.
Her story's going to get her there. Go on.
No, there you go, Nikki. There you go.
Okay, so the story's going to get her there. And it's up to her to get the rest of it going. Because that story only gets you so far.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, though. It's like, yes, it is a great story. Yes, she was a young Bayley fan who has now grown up, gotten into the business, and she's potentially going to be in WWE. But that also then there's also the question of, okay, what happens when the story is complete? Who is she then? Because
That's a very good question because we don't know yet.
Right, and that's kind of what I mean. You know, the story's going to get in the door. Now what?
Yep. She has to show it.
I mean, because right now, her gimmick is to be your own best friend. Okay, cool. All right? That's a good teenage gimmick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of these older wrestlers, I don't know who, needs to rip her a new asshole. And I don't mean that in a negative way. She needs a little bit of
adversity?
Roughing up a little. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, look, she's the Mission Pro champion. Great. Terrific. Okay? She's working the Texas Independent scene in Florida. Great. She's paying her dues. She's not just posting on shit. Okay? She's doing the right thing by associating with people like Bully Ray on Busted Open and the fact that she's, you know, getting in feuds with Mercedes Moné. Okay?
Mm.
Bailey, put it to you this way. She does speak with Bailey on occasion. It's not like they're not in communication. According to Chris Van Vliet, they're talking. They're not like buddy-buddy, but they're talking. Because I bet you when they're already in negotiations or a contract has been signed already, we just don't know it yet. You know, it's going to be very interesting to see where she goes with this. You know?
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead, Shane.
I've got the perfect person for you, Jason, because she showed that she can beat the crap out of someone without any hesitation at Bloodsport. Do Natty Neidhart. Because Natty's not unfamiliar with going down to NXT. So if Izzy shows up in NXT, Natty's your perfect pro to come down and give her a few chops and what have you.
Only if she shows up in her Bloodsport persona. Natty, I mean.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, take off the pink and black for a bit. Put your hair back and get ready to whoop some ass. Just like he did with that. What was her name? Mackenzie?
I don't recall.
Natty's opponent down there, Minu Yamashita.
No. She got in the face of NWA wrestler.
The NWA champion. Okay, female.
Mackenzie Page. I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it's just Kenzie Page, but yes,
Kenzie Page. Yes.
Yeah, so when she started smacking her around in the crowd, like I'm like, damn, Natty, okay. if you showed that type of fire in WWE, people would be like, woo.
People would actually be afraid of her.
She's actually had it for 616 days. The last person she lost, she beat Camille. So yep. She'll have it for 2 years, maybe. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So. All I'm saying is that Izzy's next chapter is going to be really, really interesting. TNA had a pay-per-view this past weekend, Rebellion. The big deal is that Joe Hendry's next challenger is going to be Trick Williams, pretty much.
Yes.
Trick is a full-fledged heel. Oh, and the Nemeths beat the Hardys for the tag title.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's I put it in the chat. The momentum rule clearly did not apply here because the Nemeths got the upper hand on the Hardys in their own complex. So I was surprised that the Nemeths won. But just with the Trick Williams thing, though, I'm starting not to like the NXT stars going after the TNA championships. because I feel like it makes it too predictable. Because well, no one's going to...
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second. I agree with you because no one has the balls to pull the trigger. Okay? Either way. Okay? Because how many times did Jordynne Grace try and get the NXT women's title and fail before she actually signed with NXT? At least three or four times, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. I would love to see, not in a belt collector style like Mercedes Moné, but I would love to see a TNA person win the NXT belt and vice versa. Love to see it.
Exactly. That's what I'm...
But no, so you're saying you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my point. Like, what's the point in doing these things if neither one's going to do the switch? Like, we had the perfect opportunity with the Hardys versus Fraxium.
Right. That was in New York. That should have happened.
Didn't pull the trigger with that. You didn't pull the trigger with that to make the Hardys the NXT tag team champions or Fraxium the TNA champions. You didn't freaking do it. So you had a perfect opportunity there. Then we had Moose versus Obafemi. Had a perfect opportunity there. Didn't do it again.
Yeah, they did. Right.
And
absolutely correct. Yeah. You're right.
Did you want to have Moose have a WWE title, though?
Yes, Moose deserves it. Did you see the chance that he got in New York?
Like, people lost their shit when he turned up. Like, they were like, damn. But look, either way, vice versa, whether it be Obafemi taking the TNA, what was it? He had the X Division title off Moose, or Moose taking the title off of Oba. Because these were two big... Big heels.
Men, two big meaty men trying to slap me.
Yeah, like, no, yeah, you had the biggest face in NXT and you had the biggest heel in TNA. And then, like, that's where I thought that, that's where I was looking forward to the whole winner take all scenario that I thought that they were originally going to do. Like, it was that both belts were on the line. I was like, oh, cool. We got some unexpectancy here. I'm like, I don't know who to go for. Like, who's going to win? But then you just find out that the NXT Championship's the only one on the line. And it's like, oh, well, fuck. Well, we're 99% sure where this is going.
mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm just saying. I agree with Jason. We need some more spontaneity and unpredictability with these things. Because if it's a true partnership, pull the trigger on one of them.
I really and truly do. I want to see a little something different. Just give us a little something. And let's hope that we get to see more. You know, remember, we're a month away from the partnership starting with AAA.
Yeah.
And the June 7th Worlds
Collide. When Worlds Collide.
Worlds Collide. And then what is that? Money in the Bank. Not Money in the Bank, right? In L.A.? Is that right? What's that pay-per-view the same day?
Yeah, Money in the Bank is in Inglewood, California. Same day, same place. Or no, not the same place. It's going to be down the street, I'm guessing, or something.
It could be at the Inglewood Dome, because they've been doing a few shows there.
Yeah, it's at the Inglewood Dome, because Worlds Collide's at the Kia Forum.
There you go. The Kia Forum, the old home of the Lakers. Inglewood Dome, the new home of the LA Clippers. By the way, speaking of which... Cody Rhodes is actually in a commercial, which I posted tonight, which they debuted on NBC during the Kentucky Derby, talking about the NBA going to the NBC this fall, singing Round Ball Rock. Cody Rhodes did the da-da-da-da-da-da-da coming out of its trailer.
Oh, my God. I need to see this.
It's in the thread.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to throw. Because just going along this line, me and you are on, Jason. Here's what I'm proposing. If we're going to do a true part, we're going to do a true partnership here, right? Like, because we've already got people going from promotion to promotion. Hear me out. California.
Ooh.
California Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. First ever TNA Money in the Bank ladder match. You get TNA stars on the promotion, and they, same rules apply. They get to go for whatever title that they want on TNA, because then it gets more eyes on the WWE product, and vice versa, because whoever wins that TNA championship, they can go for whatever championship that they want, whether it be TNA. Or WWE.
NXT or all that. I like that idea, except they already have the concept called Feast or Fire, right?
They do. That's what I'm saying. They've got Feast or Fired, but that's what I'm saying. This will be the first one where it's for a championship with either company.
Ooh.
With either company, you can go for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, you can go for the WWE Championship, you can go for the Intercontinental Championship, or you can go for the X Division Championship. It's a dealer's choice. Whatever you want to do, whoever wins that ladder match can do it. Then you have a mixture of both WWE and TNA stars.
So it's kind of like a call your shot deal that TNA's done before.
Right, and you can even twist it a little bit with Feast or Fired, that if a TNA wrestler gets fired from TNA, then his phone rings and it's Aldis or Pierce or Ava, you know, calling them up saying, it's okay, we got a place for you.
If you want to do it like that, go to NXT briefcase if you want to do it that way. But
I'm just saying, you can play it a whole bunch of different ways.
By the way, speaking of which, I forgot to mention something, and of course, we talked about this in pre-production, Nikki. Matt Cardona had a message to all the people who got released yesterday. He said, quote,
yes, please say that.
You have three choices.
Again.
Fade into obscurity, coast off of your WWE name, work your ass off, reinvent yourself, make a lot of money, and have a lot of fucking fun. Love the indie god. And Josh, Matt Cardona is the perfect example of taking chicken shit and making it into gold chicken salad.
Yes, he absolutely is. Because remember when he got released right during COVID? It was pretty much is this guy going to mean something or is he just going to flounder? He's meaning something. He is essentially the biggest name right now in the independent scene.
He definitely is. And it's a great thing for him on a personal level. I would just like to see him get his shot back in WWE, because honestly, you have not Zack Ryder, you have Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green on the same screen. People are gonna lose their
big time. That's a shut up and take my money moment.
Weren't they in GCW together for a hot second before?
Yes, they were. Before
she got re-signed, and now Steph DeLander is his number one girl.
Steph was before the injury. Nowadays, Steph is in TNA dealing with Mance Warner,
her real life husband.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not sure. Boyfriend, yes. I don't know.
Boyfriend, yes. Real life boyfriend, not husband.
Okay.
But yeah, she left Matt after Matt came to TNA and had the whole thing with PCO, and then she was married in brackets, to PCO and was with him. But then when PCO had his little tantrum and tirade, then she said that her and PCO got divorced, and then Mance Warner was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt, I really believe Matt Cardona will get another run in WWE as Matt Cardona. Not as Zack.
Yeah, yes. He's already said it. Zack Ryder is dead.
Woo, woo, woo! You know. Sorry, I had to.
Oh no, he's gonna make at least he's gonna make one reference to it, and then he's gonna say bullshit, just like Cody did with the Stardust stuff.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, it's real interesting. But we do have a pay per view that's coming up. We actually have two of them. Let's go to Backlash.
Yep. The one that's coming up next Saturday.
Hell yeah. Can't wait to watch that.
Yeah, it's going to be... Oh. Did we just lose people?
I'm still here.
Okay, we just lost Jason. But first...
Okay, Craig. Go ahead.
We're fine. We keep going. But first, let's go to Backlash, because we are starting to really build up for it.
Yes. SmackDown did a lot of building.
Yes.
Oh, I only know of three matches so far, and I'm already invested.
It is four matches.
Oh, I must have missed one. Yeah, what was the one fourth?
That got created tonight.
Oh.
Ooh, okay.
And that would be Jacob Fatu facing off against L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre.
Oh, no, I already knew about that one.
Yeah, that one was on SmackDown.
And would it be Lyra Valkyrie and Becky?
That one. It would have been Lyra Valkyrie and... Go ahead.
No, it was the one, the three I knew about that I was excited about was Cena and Orton.
Uh-huh.
The Fatal 4-Way for the US title and Becky and Lyra. I didn't know there was another one that I had.
So you didn't know about Pat and Gunther?
Four. Then yes, because I always like it. I enjoy a good Pat McAfee match.
Yeah, that match could be an absolute banger.
Yes,
and yes, you can put in the thank you, sir. May I have another here?
Oh, he. you know, Pat's going to say it himself. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
If he doesn't, I will be very disappointed in him.
Sorry, I keep forgetting. Yes. I can't close the window because I leave the chat room. I am so sorry.
Congratulations.
So where was I?
But yes, we are talking about Backlash.
So, yes. Where did you lose?
And we've already talked about the four matches in passing. We're talking a little bit more now about McAfee and Gunther. Yes, because
Gunther right now... is quote-unquote suspended. Did you see my air quotes right there? Okay.
Yes.
He's right now in Europe chilling with his wife, I believe. Okay?
Yes.
And his kids. Yeah, he had a son born last year, I believe. Because I made the joke, and when he came out, you chopped the doctor.
I have to look. Okay.
Yeah, he does have a kid with Jenny. Wow.
Okay. He's going to be two in December. Okay. And
although he's currently living in England. Cambridge.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's in England right now chilling. So Pat McAfee goes to Nick Aldis. I don't know why he's.
While standing on the announce desk.
Why was Adam Pearce out? Because he had some sort of medical issue? He said. Not 100%
think
sure.
So he had a outpatient level surgery, so he will be back next week.
So he's like, I want the suspension lifted and I'm gonna kick his ass. And Nick Aldis says, I agree with you. We ain't gonna do it now, we're gonna do it at Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And McAfee's gonna sell like a motherfucker for him.
Yes, and yeah. he's going to be laughing so hard when he gets backstage. Right. While clutching his chest, which will be absolute hamburger.
Yes, because he is a pale white boy. Okay.
Yes. Yep. A pale West Virginian white boy. Or no, Pennsylvania white boy.
There's a fourth
boy.
Match in a second, but there's a fifth match that we know that is going to get set up, which is Jey Uso, Logan Paul.
Yeesh.
Jey will win.
Yeah.
Sorry, but no yeet.
What do you mean no yeet?
Yeah, we're not a fan of this match actually happening. I don't want... I'm not interested.
Like, okay, so... like, because Jason, here's the thing. Like, so he goes from barely beating AJ Styles to automatically getting into the world title picture. Like, that for me doesn't make sense because Styles hasn't been a contender for the championship in ages. And there are plenty of other guys on the roster who have been in line longer. Like, honestly, you could have had Braun Breaker come out and freaking spear the shit out of Jey Uso, and I would have been like, oh, okay, I'm interested in this match.
Well, Braun Breaker right now, well, we'll get to that in a minute, okay? Because poor Sammy, you know?
He's trying to save Seth's life, he really is.
How do you mean?
Because...
how do you mean?
How do I mean? Okay. First of all, Sammy and Seth know each other all the way back to Ring of Honor. Number one. Number two, Sammy is seeing the exact same level of megalomania that he saw in Roman. He doesn't want Seth to walk that path because Seth has everything he needs. He doesn't really need Heyman. And yeah. he doesn't need to try to tear Raw down like that. Seth's better than that. He doesn't need that. And Seth's like, go away. You don't know what you're talking about. And Sammy is losing a friend here. Though admittedly, Sammy's in line to probably go chasing Jey at some point. We've already seen those ends start. So
I have, because everyone's talking about potentially this either a tag team or six man tag happening at Backlash with Seth and Braun versing Roman Punk and now potentially Sammy. So it's like, who's the third man going to be? We're getting WCW all over again.
Yes.
It's like I've just got a feeling that Sammy's going to be the third man. We're going to get it's ironic. this will be coming from a Cody Rhodes storyline, but we're going to get the similar situation when Cody was teaming with Bob Holly and it was against Ted DiBiase Jr. It's like, oh, don't worry, our third will be here soon. We can handle things until then. Then all of a sudden, Huluva kick, bang! It was Sammy all along.
It's a proven formula. I'm down. But meantime, though, Sammy, as a face, is truly, truly concerned for Seth's sanity. Especially since even though Sammy didn't run with Roman and the crew anymore, he saw what happened with Heyman. Sammy has no beef with Heyman. In the sense that Heyman's never done anything bad to him. But he saw what just happened to Roman.
And Punk.
And it's like, oh my God, if Seth takes Paul in, it's only a matter of time before Paul turns around and stabs him right back.
Mm-hmm.
So being the friend that he is and a longtime Ring of Honor guy, he's trying to save Seth, but Seth is already
corrupt.
Seth EXE has stopped working.
The files corrupted, so to speak?
Yes. Files are corrupted. Abort, retry, fail.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in retry right now.
So where does Braun fit in the mix?
Every time Sammy shows up, he's going to spear the fuck
out
of
him. No, I get that point, but I'm talking... I get that. What I mean is, the other... Where? I mean, is he just the new Paul Heyman guy? Is he muscle? What is he?
He is Uncle Paul's hedged bet. If Seth somehow slips on a banana peel... Because sometimes he does. Paul already has his next big mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, even worse scenario, and I don't think Sammy sees this, but I do.
What?
That Paul's just using Seth to blind him from what they're going to do, what he's going to do with Breaker.
Ooh, oh, yeah, so there's potentially going to be an evolution situation here with Braun playing the part of Batista and Seth playing the part of Triple H.
Correct. Heyman is Flair. We just don't know who Orton is.
I have a feeling with what I saw this past week on Raw... Theory is definitely looking like the third man, but then again, like I said, I'm still leaning towards Sammy because just that promo with him, Jay and Jimmy, there was just something there in Sammy's eyes, and I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah, there's hints there, and I could make the joke that. You know, Paulie's still in the same position, but now he gets a third member. Now he has a new shield. With Braun as Roman and Sammy as Dino.
but you know what I would have loved to see from your Uncle Paul? This past week, when he was talking with Sammy, just to get a lot more fans thinking, "Holy crap, Sammy could actually potentially turn heel here."
Mm-hmm.
Saying when he brought up that offer of the WWE Championship match with you get to face the winner of Cena and Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that extra little carrot out there and be like, "Cause just think about it, Sammy." When Cody comes back, he's going to want to get that WWE Championship. So, you being the WWE Champion, you get to get two birds with one stone here because Cody Rhodes is the man that took your best friend out of this business, like playing off that. Cody was the main reason why Kevin's neck is so messed up.
Well, you could say it's a lie, but kayfabe, of course.
Kayfabe, you can go along the lines of, the destroyer that friggin' Cody did or whatever he did to Kevin through the ladder, the powerbomb through the ladder, caused massive damage to Kevin's neck. Which is now potentially costing his wrestling career, people will be like, damn, Paul's got a point. Like, and that's something for Sammy to stew on.
Yeah. And those wrong words in the right order can start those dominoes falling. So, yes. We like our scenarios. Please, WWE, feel free to use them. But can we at least start getting paid? Anyway, hi.
I would love to get paid. They were looking for writers just recently. I'm like, if you guys did things for people for overseas, I would gladly put my name forward, because I don't have the experience for writing the scripts and everything, but I can give you plenty of ideas that would get you guys a rating.
But there's also one other backlash match we forgot to talk about, and I think this match is going to steal the show. Okay?
Oh.
We have a four-way for the U.S. Okay. title. Damian Priest, Jacob Fatu, Drew McIntyre, and LA Knight. Yeah. Shut up and take my money on that one.
Well, the side story with that is also making it very interesting, because essentially Solo put his foot in his mouth and got it turned into a fatal four-way. He tried to blame Aldis, and Aldis is like, "That was your idea. You're the one that's betraying. You're the one betraying Solo, betraying Jacob."
Yeah.
Because Aldis is right. Aldis is a general manager, not a referee. He's not that blind.
Mm-hmm.
And being a reasonable authority figure, he's going to see that. And please, let's keep reasonable authority figures.
Both of them are reasonable authority figures.
Well, yeah.
I just had a bad thought.
Uh-oh.
Because we were I don't know if Jason was here when we were talking about it, but I brought it up earlier with Bronson Reed.
Yes, I returning. Heard that. Yes.
So with Bronson Reed returning, I have a bad feeling. Jacob will retain at Backlash, but I have a feeling he'll lose it at Money in the Bank.
To Solo,
because I have a feeling they'll set up Solo versus Jacob at Money in the Bank in California, have Bronson Reed return that night, tsunami the shit out of Jacob Fatu, and then Solo just spikes him and gets the win.
Why wait that long? I think that Fatu would retain. And just, you know, as he's celebrating, Bronson Reed comes in out of nowhere, and then tsunamis the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Solo doesn't think about it, so, you know, Jacob's pissed, we play around with it a little bit, Solo ends up hiring Bronson Reed, Jacob Fatu's face, and all hell's breaking loose. Just a thought.
That's another good way of building it up too. Yeah, absolutely. And it would make sense too, because Fatal 4-Way, no DQ. So
correct. So Jay, what did you
also
have?
I mean, I also have been loving the fact, first of all, Chelsea Green coming out in morning clothes.
Dressed like Jackie O. Deliberately. And I'm like, that's messed up. And the Secret Hervis joining her in her mourning.
That's so good.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrific.
Oh, Chelsea's been killing it as like this presidential friggin' character heel. She's amazing at whatever she does, honestly.
Yeah, now, let me ask you guys. Do you think that Aldis is deliberately trying to split up U.S. Green with the Zelina Piper Niven match?
No. No. I think it was just, you know, Nick Aldis being Nick Aldis, okay? I think that Nick Aldis is just making Chelsea's life a living hell because he likes to do that shit.
Well, he's getting her back for making his life living hell.
Right.
So, only fair. Okay. No, just putting it out there.
Oh, and by the way, the interview with her, I think I told you this, with Chris Van Vliet, it was the same day they did the Kevin Owens interview, and Kevin Owens busted, broke through on the interview. Just basically talking about Canadian stuff.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last week.
He's had a lot of... Chris Van Vliet has gotten everybody. I have to see who he's gotten this week.
Yes.
Okay. He was also at the TNA pay-per-view, by the way. He's neutral, you know?
Yeah. Last people up are Eric and Buddy Matthews.
Oh, yes.
And then the Hurt Syndicate Prior.
For those of you who have not watched the Buddy Matthews one,
yeah,
please go watch it. My God, if you want to know how friggin' Rhea and Buddy got together,
I saw that interview.
Oh, sweet Jesus! I have never laughed so hard in all my life. And the just how much love he has for her, honestly, he puts this woman on a friggin' pedestal. Like he openly admitted he put her into a triangle chokehold, and this woman would not tap to him, would not give up, and he was going full force as well, to the point where his leg was spasming, and he had to let go, and she just got on top of him and started wailing on him. He's like, that's why I am the most faithful. His exact quote was, that is why I will be the most faithful husband and man on this earth, because I know if I do anything wrong, that woman will kill me.
He's still with a smile on his face. Don't you love in wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
Bang bang kiss. I mean, slap slap kiss. I mean,
No, and she chopped the shit out of him too when he was sunburnt too. He's like, it was supposed to be a joke, but she went, this is how competitive she is. She went full force with it. and it hurt like a bitch. I'm like, that's what you get for marrying an Australian woman. They're fiery. Weeks,
this is who Chris Van Vliet has interviewed. Natalya, Chelsea Green, Ailey, the Hurt Syndicate, Buddy Matthews, and Eric. The War Raiders. Not bad. And his interviews are fair. They're sort of shooty kayfabe, if you can understand what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, walking in and out of character, because you need both perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this dude's turning into like a Murrow for wrestling journalism. We need one of those.
Exactly.
Chris Van Vliet is what I wanted to do, like with this type of stuff. I wanted to interview wrestlers like this, but he's living my dreams.
He's
God
good.
Damn it!
The best one he ever did was Dominic Mysterio. He did an interview with Dominic Mysterio, and Dominic was in character, but he was out of character too, and it was just so well done. Like the funniest bit was, he's like, what's your favorite flavor of dipping sauce? Ranch. What else is there? Ketchup? No. Honey mustard? No. And didn't he get a deal with Wingstop because of it?
I think so.
That also explains the Dino Nugget pillows in Clubhouse.
Oh, there's also the Hot Wings trophy that was there. The Hot Ones.
Yeah.
Okay. The one with him and Liv Morgan. By the way, he's this close to getting cheered. He's this close.
I mean, he got cheered at Mania,
he already posted a picture. Send me more haters. The old ones are starting to like me. He posted himself
but
on Twitter.
Speaking of haters.
Yeah.
And speaking of and Liv. Liv has got a very high-profile movie role. this week.
Yes.
She is playing...
I'm trying to remember the name of the movie.
Lieutenant Tokyo. She is in Japan right now filming it under the direction of famed Japanese movie director Takeshi Miike. M-I-I-K-E. He's Miike.
It's Miike.
And she is playing the kidnapped politician's daughter that the cop is trying to rescue.
So a little bit of a stereotypical role for that.
Yeah, but that's a big move. That's a big movie, though.
Yes.
I mean, everyone thought she was going to be in the new Avengers movie.
No, but isn't there a male wrestler who's supposed to be in some big movie coming shortly?
Don't know. But I also do know the movie Queen of the Ring, which just was released a little while ago.
Yes.
Is going to be on Apple TV to rent. I don't know how much. It's that's the one with Toni Storm and others. That's going to be coming up soon to buy and rent on Apple TV.
I spent the full price and saw it in the theater. It was wonderful.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Was it good?
I was very impressed. It didn't focus on female wrestlers we know, because I believe Mae Young is referenced in here.
Yes.
Isn't Tony? No, Toni Storm plays Mae Young, doesn't she? No way.
No. Toni Storm had a kind of a bit role in there as one of the other one of the other female wrestlers.
Well, Clara Morgan, that's right. Francesca Eastwood was Mae Young. That's right.
And
Jim Cornette was the NWA commissioner? Really?
Yes. I never laughed so hard in my life when I saw
was
that.
Was he good?
Yes. I mean, he was, you could, you know, a wrestling fan watching this movie is going to be, that's just Jim Cornette. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. he has the mentality. He has a territorial mentality anyway. So this was a cakewalk for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Emily Bett Rickards played Mildred Burke.
Yes.
As well.
And
Camille was Jill Byers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then a bunch of bit roles. Trinity or Naomi was Ethel Johnson. Mickey James was Moolah. And Britt Baker was Debbie Nichols. And then, of course, the only other one who's been done wrestling before, Kelly Berglund, who was on Heels, played Nell Stewart.
Oh, wow, that's right. Oh, yes. Hopefully there'll be a season 3 of that, because that's freaking awesome, too. You said you finally caught up with that.
Yes, I did, and they left me on a hard cliffhanger. So, Phil, Steve, start banging on doors at Netflix. I want a third season, too.
That was a great, that was so good. And by the way, Mike O'Malley as the Paul Heyman, outstandingly good.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, when I hear Mike O'Malley, all I want to say is back to you, Mo. Mo! Sorry.
No.
I blame my childhood for that.
No, but Mike O'Malley plays the guy who heads up Dystopian Championship Wrestling, I believe it's called.
Florida Wrestling Dystopia.
Yes. And it is ECW that had a real budget. So if Heyman had that kind of money, that's what ECW would have looked like.
And saying. CM Punk was a very... I loved him as Ricky Rabies. He was so good in that.
Yeah, he's this granola boy, dirty, scraggly wrestler. But he has some great ideas. Sorry, the flying possum really got me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and also AJ Lee was in the second season for an episode or two.
Right, but I sat there and snickered the whole time because there were so many AJ-isms that she did.
Mm-hmm.
She wrestled in the high tops. She'd skip around. she was, you know, there was two or three other things that I was like, okay, I remember this, I remember that, I remember this. Phil, please tell your wife that she needs to get back in the biz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you also noticed a few people in the, like, the battle royals or, like, the undercard scenes. What did you see?
Nick Aldis was actually one of the Dystopia wrestlers. He was wearing armor. He was in one of the little group meetings.
Wait a minute. Was he wearing his Brutus Magnus armor?
Probably.
Whew.
Damian Sandow was in there. He was mostly a background character. He did not have a speaking part. Luke Hawks played Pole for Dystopia. He was also their wrestling choreographer.
Mm.
Which was a great deal. Which was an absolutely fantastic deal.
Yeah.
And all the people, and I know all the people who played even the individual roles were so good. What I also love, the matron who knew all the secrets.
Yeah. There's one of those in every indie. There is one in every indie. Because I remember the one that MAW had. She was mm-hmm. she was a hard-nosed bitch, but she knew everything that was going on. She knew, you know, she knew stuff that she probably shouldn't have known, or she was the one everybody talked to, figuring she wouldn't see anything.
Mm.
But that's the matron. This one though was the one in heels, however, is kind of giddy and just glad to be there and just loves what's going on. And being indispensable helps, so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, give me another season of heels. Phil, Steve, start knocking on doors.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten way off topic. Go on.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, again, it was technically a light wig. Kind of.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I do have one other fun thing. One of the Rock's Termana Blanco was named one of the 50 best tequilas of the 21st century, which is kind of cool.
Oh.
Number 42, ironically enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that.
But, yeah.
Not bad for only being a quarter into the century, but that's mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who's got a famous tequila?
The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Oh.
According to the Rob report, The Rock, it's number 42. It got pretty high ratings for it. They're saying it's a very good starter tequila.
Mm-hmm. Is it called The Rock Bottom by any chance?
Ah. No, it's called Termana Blanco, actually. They also have a Reposado and no, it's the Termana White or Clear, actually. It's about 35 like, bottles U.S. thereabouts.
Dwayne, you have a shit marketing team. Just saying.
No, they'll make a specialty drink with it.
But I will say, this, you're right. I think we've gotten way off topic and we're having too much fun, so we need to close out the new studio before we make a mess. So,
yes.
Shane, do you have anything to promote?
Yeah, every party has a pooper, and his name's Jason Black. Sorry, I've got a
guys, this is what we meant about not making this place into a mess. No fighting in here, okay?
I'll get the muffin button.
No, don't bring that in here either. No! God damn it.
Yes.
Shane, continue before I lose my mind.
No, I've got nothing to promote, but if we're going to do the first thing here in the studio, we'd be remiss without saying pretty love. Sorry, I had to do it.
New studio. Oh no, we forgot to talk about one other thing.
What's that?
Shane, something WWE's coming to you.
Oh,
that we forgot too.
Was that?
Go for it.
But let's go with Shane's first. WWE is going down under.
Yes, they will be here for Friday Night SmackDown, Crown Jewel Perth, and Monday Night Raw. I have already looked into flights. I am going to have to save people. I'm going to have to save. But
it's expensive as hell, isn't it?
The flights and hotel stays alone are going to cost me and my wife $3,000.
No, so, that's about $2,000 to $2,200 US.
I tell fibbies. It's actually going to be $1,500, $1,600.
Oh,
but
okay, that's not as bad. It's around $1,000 US.
Yeah, but then we still have not heard anything about seat pricing and everything. That's still yet to be informed. So
that's going to be your firstborn.
Your nextborn.
there are no nextborns. This is a no deal situation in this household.
Gotcha.
Fair. Yeah.
But I'm at the finish line, guys. Like, damn.
The second is that AEW is going to have a residency at 2300. 3 weeks in August and September, I do believe.
Yeah, it's late August through mid-September at the ECW Arena.
Yes. August 27th through September 11th, they will be there for 3 Dynamites, 3 Collisions, and ROH's Death Before Dishonor. So yeah, it's going to be fairly busy, Neil Adelph.
And also the third thing is that there's going to be no event in Saudi Arabia this year, but we know what's kicking off 2026.
More than likely. Saudi.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's official. It's been announced, hasn't it?
No, I don't think so.
We have heard the rumblings.
It has been announced.
Rumble in Saudi.
Yep, Rumble in Riyadh. Joy.
I feel bad for wrestlers already.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, no. Imagine being all the women in their women Royal Rumble match. You all so. Everyone from Rhea Ripley to Tiffany Stratton, none of you are going to be wearing anything skimpy. It's all full clothes.
Yep.
Oh, bodysuit.
Bodysuits, yeah.
Yeah.
Bet they're designing them now.
They have to.
Welcome to the Latex Rumble.
Yep.
So.
All right. Now that
so Josh, what's happening on your side of the world?
All right. For this week on It Was a Thing on TV, as I mentioned last week, the Hall of Fame ceremony where they introduced 17 new people into the class. Next year and the years after will be less. And they have started Pilot Month. Last week was In the Lion's Den, a 1987 pilot for the CBS Summer Playhouse that did absolutely terribly. The only thing that was even half decent about it, Marcia Gay Harden was in the pilot. Coming up next week, though, they will deviate slightly from the pilot month to essentially go for a Star Wars reference. Because May the 4th is tomorrow here in the US. It's already there in Australia. For Ewoks.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah, for Ewoks, the 1985 animated show set in the Star Wars universe. It didn't do well. Only got 2 seasons and about 35, 40 episodes.
But did it do better than Droids?
Because
that was the other one.
Droids the... Oh, right. Droids the animated series. It did better than Droids. It actually made it to season two.
So, just put it out there. So, if they're going to do Ewoks, tell them they got to do Droids.
They probably will next year.
Okay.
And if not, hey, you can always get a hold of Chico on here.
That's true. Because,
after all, he's part of the group. But you can find all of that and so much more on itwasathingontv.com. Jason, WLTI and all that jazz?
I will do that. Thank you. WLTI, we had our latest Super Champion on Jeopardy. More on Survivor, The Amazing Race. We talk, we crown a winner on Drag Race, and we start up this coming Friday with Drag Race All-Stars 10. We remember a Drag Race All-Star, who passed away due to complications from a leg amputation, named Jiggy Caliente. He was only 44 years old. And we also are going to talk next week about the death of Ruth Buzzy this past week.
Hey, oh, no! You guys!
No, no,
that's
no,
Rita
no.
Moreno. That's Rita Moreno.
Oh.
Ruth Buzzy was the old woman who used to hit Artie Johnson with the pocketbook.
Oh.
Wallace Hornsby.
Okay,
and she,
okay.
She also played one of the aliens in
The Lost Saucer.
Yeah. Jim Neighbors and Dorsey. No, wait,
yes,
that's the wrong.
Correct.
Are you sure that's the right one? No, that's Lost Saucer. I'm thinking, I was thinking the other one with Alan Hale and what's his name?
Far Out Space Nuts?
Yeah.
No.
Maybe Charles Nelson Reilly, that one?
I was getting them mixed up. But it is Lost Saucer. It was Ruth Buzzy and Jim Neighbors.
Yep. 1975-76. A Sid and Marty Krofft show, so I understand why you were aiming for it. Starring, Jim Neighbors and Ruth Buzzy.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that all part of the H.R. Puffin stuff, Land of the Lost era?
Krofft Super Show era, so it would be right after. But Electra Woman and Dinah Girl was there.
Right.
And we're not talking about the one that was done for YouTube with Hannah Hart and, that other one.
No, we're talking about Deidre Hall, and I forget who Dinah Girl was.
Judy Strangis.
Aha! Okay, there you go.
I was on the page, so go figure.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. But yeah, we're going to be talking about that. And we have the first visit of the spring super toilet, as we did Push or Flush. Next week, more of the same. As we head to May sweeps and we find out which shows get renewed and which shows do not. So far, I believe all the shows that we know and love have got new seasons. That includes Jeopardy, Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right, Family Feud. But the other shows that did not are Person, Place, or Thing and Pictionary. I know 25 Words or Less is still good. And we've got two other shows like Flipside. And we've got a new show with Deborah Norville coming in the fall called The Perfect List. More on that, of course, as we get to War Upfronts and things like that. Because NBC and all the networks have actually talked about their summer schedules. Oh, and we have a new... Because you remember Match Game with Alec Baldwin?
Yes.
From the mid-2010s? Well, we've got a new version of it. It's shooting in Canada. And we need a Canadian host. His name is Martin Short. Pretty big deal.
Yes. Isn't he currently on Only Murders in the Building as well?
That is correct. Yes, his career has had a resurgence with Steve Martin and Selena Gomez. And he's in a bunch of Wells Fargo commercials and a bunch of other stuff. Yes, he's had a career resurgence with him.
All right.
Because I know also that I believe Martin Short and Steve Martin are actually touring together now.
Not a surprise.
So, not a surprise. Also, BS Big Show a couple weeks ago did the draft and the rise and fall of Shador Sanders. But again, we've got schedules coming out in about, 2 weeks?
Yes, that sounds about right.
Right, and where all the social media teams are going to try and outdo each other because they're all pretty fun. And we'll be back to announce our schedules as we get there. Nikki, your artists, please.
Yes, one moment. I'll start with our artist in residence, Jamie Claudet, who is still crazy exhausted from her shoot job and hiding in the basement of the Has-Been Hotel. But as I mentioned last show, you know, I'm so glad that she got paid for helping King Troy this year for WrestleMania. I do want to have her back on the show, but like
which outfit it was, the black or the white one?
I don't know. Although she did say she probably had a hand in both, I think, because she said it was a two-parter.
Oh, wow.
It was, yes.
So,
because remember, he dressed in black first, then white, right?
Yeah,
was it white first?
It was underneath the white.
Yeah, he had the black on first, mm-hmm. and then
yep.
Because then he did the burn it down thing. The lights went out, and he shuffled out of the black robe into the white stuff, and then had the
right. I saw the video.
Yes, cool. I seen that video as well.
As for other artists, obligatory shout out to Onwambashu. Do check her artwork out. Her commissions, I believe, are open. She has a card, CARRD account. She also has a Ko-fi account. If you want to send her a couple of bucks to say, we love your artwork. Alberto Gaitan, fairly new to my list. Commissions are open. Just did a recent piece for Fraxium. I should say of Fraxium, not for them. But actually did two pieces. Those are both looking really good. James Diotto just recently posted on Twitter a new piece of Rhea Ripley artwork. So go check that out. Who else have I got on here? Some of my current guys that I've actually gotten stuff from, Tapeworm, two R's. Did a recent piece for me with in my Moxistential obsession, as it were, of what would happen if Dean Ambrose and John Moxley could actually face each other. Docile Bread posted as Groovy, did another one for me that looks like a video game cover. Go check his stuff out. Oh, and just a quick note: SmackDown will be in Dayton next Friday.
Ooh.
Are you going?
I can't.
Yeah. And if we're going... That and also got to figure out when we're going to do our next week's episode, because Backlash is on a Saturday night.
It's going to... All I'm going to say is that if you have to do it on Friday night and I can't make it, just go.
Gotcha.
Just go.
And if we can't do it, I'll at least post the stuff on Facebook and we'll do it Saturday.
So,
yeah, and we'll do it during the show. Yeah. Well, I'll be gaming next week, but we'll see.
Same.
If I can get there.
Yeah, like maybe. I said, we'll figure it out. It's really going to depend. I've had some issues of getting home before midnight.
Yeah.
This past week, I think it was more of a staffing issue.
Because of everybody running off for the draft last week.
Yeah. That was from the previous week. This week, it was just rearranging of people, and we did have a supervisor out. So, yeah, it was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know I have a whole bunch of other artists, but I think I'm going to cut it a little short because I'm right here. So, for Jason Block, for Bad News Beeman, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. You're welcome to always stop by at the North American Wrestling Connection studio to hear us talk further about wrestling on our road to Backlash.